Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
Right, so we've specifically chosen to go through a short series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is the third week, I think. Why? It's because these teachings are essential building blocks to being a disciple of Jesus. These teachings are an essential building block to being a disciple of Jesus. If we don't grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we miss out on God's purposes for our lives. Our mission will fail. There'll be spiritual famine, and there'll be no fruit. So this is important stuff. Now, you don't need the fruit of the Spirit to become a Christian, but they're fundamental to being a Christian. If you're not a Christian, Jesus doesn't ask you, hey, where's your goodness? Why don't you love others? And why are you not faithful and kind? And why do you lack peace? No. Jesus simply asks and says, come to me, empty-handed, and I will give you these things. Take my yoke and learn from me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to take your yoke and we want to learn from you. As we open up your word, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. I pray, Lord, that this will be a pivotal moment for some people today. And for others, it'll just strengthen them. Holy Spirit, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Right, very importantly, I will get, we got this up there. I'm going to ask Jackie to read for us. So, Jackie, let me just get it up. Thank you. This is Jackie. And we're just going to read from Galatians.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Jackie Greenway! Thank you, Jackie. So there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit mentioned in this passage. How, when you go through them, how do you feel about these amazing qualities? Do you go, yeah, got that. Whoa, that one, definitely. 9 out of 9, slam dunk. Or do you have another view on things? You should not do this at home. But I compared myself with Jackie on the fruits of the Spirit. Very dangerous. And in my reckoning, and not hers, I got thrashed 7-2. And no extra time. But it does show I'm a very wise man. I married the other 7. This is definitely the wrong way to look at the fruit of the Spirit. This is not a self-improvement course that you can tell everybody about on Facebook. Don't compare yourself with others, and certainly don't compare yourself with your partner. These are the characteristics of God. They're the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the outcome. We see these in the life of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of God being at work in our lives. They're the fruit of putting on Jesus' yoke and learning from him. Fantastic, you may say. So do I get the whole package like an Amazon delivery? No, you don't. We have to grow them. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can we best understand the fruit of the Spirit? There's just testing. There we are. There's a guy called Michael Timmis who has got a good way of looking at it. And he says this: the way I define love is by using the fruit of the Spirit, which starts with love. I believe that joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love at rest. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love interacting. Goodness is love initiating. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love empathizing. And self-control is love resisting temptation. I really like that explanation. And as you'll see, love is right at the center. And as we go through today, and as we go through this whole series, we'll see how almost one bit of muscle can help another bit. If one bit's weak, we can have another bit. They're not all separate. They're joined together because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus sees it this way as well. He says in Matthew, we'll get the clicker going. There we are. It says in Matthew, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So love is right bang at the center. And what we see about the fruit of the Spirit, it's worked out in our relationship with God and with our relationship with one another. It's not independent of real practical life. It's not a theory. It's not in a book. It's not in a laboratory. But to me, that's a bit of a problem. Because if it wasn't for other people and circumstances, my fruit orchard would be really flourishing. And that's a reality. If it wasn't for other people, we'd be okay. But God's put us in situations that are going to test and help us grow. So today we're going to focus on patience and self-control. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, exactly. This is a very clear element in which these qualities relate to our personalities. And so some of us, like Chris, will be going, wait, because personality-wise, we think, Well, listen up, Chris. This is not just for you, but hopefully you'll get something out of it. Thanks for the toenail story. For those just visiting, that's pretty tame. thanks for toning it down, Chris. But these are linked to our personality, our individual personality. And by personality, I'm talking about the way we are wired, hardwired. Our personalities are pretty constant all the way through our adult life. Apart from unless there's a traumatic incident or a medical change, our personalities are the same all the way through. Jackie and I, when we got married, our personalities were like, 40-odd years later, they're like, personality doesn't change. And we are all wired differently. You are unique. Each of us is unique. And that's what makes life so interesting, but also so very challenging. Our personality influences how we operate and how we behave, but it doesn't determine our character. Our personality, this is really important, influences how we operate, how we behave, but it does not determine our character. We, you and I, are God-designed and we have choice. We may have been dealt a certain pack of cards and we can determine how we play them. Viktor Frankl was a renowned Jewish Austrian psychiatrist. Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and he wrote a brilliant bestseller called Man's Search for Meaning, based on his experiences of being in Nazi concentration camps. In 1942, just 9 months after getting married, Frankl and his family were sent to a concentration camp. His father died there of starvation and pneumonia. In 1944, Frankl and the surviving members of his family were transported to Auschwitz, where his mother and brother were murdered in the gas chambers. His wife died later of typhus in Bergen-Belsen. And with those thoughts in mind and that circumstance, listen to what he wrote in that book. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. To choose one's own way. What is this? When we're no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And he also wrote this. Between the stimulus and response, there is a space. Between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space lies our freedom and power to choose our responses. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Let that sink in. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. Between the toenail and the clipper, there's a space. But it could be more serious than that. But it's serious. There's a space. And in that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. And in our response lies our freedom, our growth and freedom. Viktor Frankl has succinctly explained how God has made us. That's how God's made us. But he's not told the whole story. What's a missing bit of the jigsaw? Thank you, Paul. You can preach next week. Okay. It's not called the fruit of my choices. It's not called the fruit of my efforts. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And that's great news. Because we can invite the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives and he will get to work. And so in that space, whether it's the clipper and the toenail, or whether it's something far, far more serious, we can invite the Holy Spirit to get into work. Thanks for that example. We're not here just to be left on our own resources. In our reading earlier, what Jackie read, Paul challenges to walk with the Spirit. We're going to be talking about patience and self-control. Let's go on. And I personally would not have included them in my list of the Holy Spirit because on the face of it, to be honest, they seem a little boring. Give me an extra dollop of joy any day. Neither of them come as naturally to me as they do to Jackie. They were part of her seven and certainly weren't part of my two. But being a Christian is about God working on my personality and forming my character that will reflect Jesus. I repeat that. Being a Christian is about God working on your personality and forming your character that will reflect Jesus. So the starting point then is me. Me, my personality, my circumstances, but I add God's grace. I add the Holy Spirit who develops my character to reflect God's glory so that others will see Jesus in me and want to know him. The starting point then is you, your personality, your circumstances, add God's grace, add the Holy Spirit who develops your character to reflect God's glory so that others will see Jesus and want to come to know him. There's another really important reason why we need to be serious about this. Because if I don't grow in the fruit of the Spirit, I will remain immature. If I don't grow in the fruit of the Spirit, I will lose my way and even lose my faith. In other words, my house will collapse in the storm, and I tell you, the storms will come. Sadly, the statistics are not good. Where will you be in 5 years? Will you be going on as a Christian in 5 years? Irrespective of pressures or circumstances? Because some of you won't be. That's the statistics. My natural instinct is to want to move things forward pretty quickly, like now. And which bit of now are you having a problem with? In business, I've always sought to be proactive and on the front foot. As a footballer, I was a striker. As a rugby player, I played fly half. When I played cricket, the runs came pretty quickly. Leave the defensive duties to others and give me the glory. But that can't be so as a Christian. I have to be good defensively. Otherwise, I'll be like my team, Tottenham Hotspur, who have Harry Kane up front and keep letting in the goals. And that's the reality. Patience and self-control are our supreme defenders on which we can base our attack. Without them, we're stuffed. And actually, over time, I've learned that both in business and in sport. They make us better business people and sports people. So, patience is the capacity to tolerate challenges or delays without getting upset. So, how are you in the car? How are you in the Tesco's? Better than me, I hope. The thing is, in the car and in Tesco's, if you're like me, you'll be looking for shortcuts. But there's no shortcuts with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus knew that. He knew how to wait. Age 12, he knew that his father had called him into the family business. He had come to rescue. He had a burning desire to save others. Just let me get started, he might have thought. Nope. For the next 18 years, as far as we know, he made chairs, tables, and doors out of wood. That was it. He was a chippy. That's patience being worked out. And now when he became a teacher, his pupils often seemed pretty remedial and just didn't get it. And what's more, they'd squabble about who was the greatest. You couldn't rely on them. That's patience being worked out. It's character being honed. So that when he literally faced death trials, he didn't waver. He reflected his Father's glory that draws us to him. Patience helps us play the long game, the eternal game. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can learn to deal with disappointments, stresses, setbacks. We can strengthen our patience muscles. You can strengthen your patience muscles. How do we do that? Three things. Number one, praise God in all circumstances. The operative word there is all circumstances. Praise God in all circumstances. We sang last week, blessed be the name of the Lord in times of abundance, and blessed be the name of the Lord in the times or in the desert places. So we need to ask joy, faithfulness. Come over here and help out patience. That's it, working together. Come to church weekly. Make it a discipline, not a chore. When Jackie and I got married, the best bit of advice I got, and I've taken it seriously, is put the kingdom of God first in your marriage. And that's what we've done. I haven't done many other things right, but that's one of the things we have done. Prioritize the kingdom of God. It's not an option. It's not on the menu. Oh, what shall I do? Prioritize it. I need your support and your sharpening. Don't you need it? If you slow down, you will stop. Be very careful. I've seen too many people spiritually run out of fuel miles from the garage. Don't be a statistic. Ask God to give me daily bread. God has designed time into days, and I need to go with his rhythms, which means day end, finished, new day tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. A day at a time, Lord Jesus. What about self-control? For some people, self-control comes easy. So make sure, if you're like that, hook up with joy and kindness. Otherwise, you could become a tight-fisted, individualistic Christian. For others, and I include myself, there's continuous work to be done. Otherwise, our orchard will be unprotected and the other fruit will be stolen. If we look at this, self-control, if you can read that, egrateia is the Greek word used in this specific passage. And it means state of power or strength. So self-control is a superpower. The ability to control oneself, particularly our impulses, our emotions, and our desires, especially in difficult circumstances. To be honest, if the circumstances are not difficult, this is not difficult. We all exercise self-control at some time. It's just when it's difficult for me and difficult for you. And there are similar words here, self-discipline, self-mastery, and composure. And there are certain benefits. Self-control will help guide our choices and decisions. What to say no to and what to say yes to. It enables us to stay focused. It helps us resist temptation. And it prevents unhelpful emotions or habits. Without self-control, feelings of hopelessness or despair can overwhelm us. We can develop harmful behaviors, be prone to substance abuse, overeating, gambling, violence. Without self-control, we can damage our relationships, mess up our finances and career prospects. and we can blow our Christian witness. Serious stuff. The good news is that God knows that we are frail and he wants to help. So Jesus had to wait 18 years to get started. And you know what happened first? He was tempted. Oh, look at Jesus, only 3 times. No, far from it. He was tempted like nobody else. When you have great power and influence, the temptations are huge. There is no leader like Jesus, no one better to follow. What did he do? He resisted the lies and spoke out truth. You read that in the story of the temptations. He resisted the lies and spoke out truth. You see, there's a battle for our minds. In Romans 12, it says this, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Just think about that. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. Just think, it's all that's going on at the minute. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. It's so easy. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so easy. It's downhill, the pattern of this world. Renewing your mind is a bit uphill. In Hebrews, it tells us how we can do this. Let us throw off everything. Let us throw off everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We see the fruit of the Spirit coming in. Joy. Endurance. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What can we do to help grow our self-control? First thing is, if you were out with a little kid by a busy road and you're at the edge of the pavement, you stop. We need to know about stopping. Stop. Pray in the gap. There's a gap. Help Jesus. That's a good prayer. Help Jesus. And then declare truth to widen the gap. Lord, you're in control. Stop. Pray in the gap. Help Jesus. Declare the truth to widen the gap. Lord, you are in control. Accept personal responsibility, because each of us will face God as an individual. I can't say, well, Jackie, you go first. I'll just sort of sneak in behind you. I'd love that. I can accept personal responsibility but be accountable to others. Are you accountable to anybody else? We're living in a world where actually I don't have to be accountable to anything. We're in the cult of the individual. We don't want to be accountable. As Christians, we are accountable. Be accountable. Take positive action. Do healthy stuff. For starters, read your Bible, worship, and pray every day. I say that again. Read your Bible, worship, and pray every day. I read just 9 verses this morning. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9. If you're having a struggle with reading your Bible, make a note of that. Read it every day this coming week. It'll do you good. It'll be food for your soul. Psalm 37, 1 to 9. It's amazing. Don't have to read a lot, but just take it in. Worship God and pray every day. And then to be honest, you can work out the rest. You know what's healthy for you? You know what's not healthy? Do healthy stuff. Do it with other people. So, today we've talked about three things. We've got choice. You've got choice. I've got choice. So choose. We can call on the Holy Spirit for help in the gap. And we can be inspired by Jesus. Consider Jesus. Let's pray. Perhaps it'd be good for us to stand. It'd be good for us just to, first and foremost, just spend a minute. Let's just, you know, talk to God ourselves quietly. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Lord God, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we're called by you. Oh Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for them. Thank you for each one, Lord. Thank you, you've made us family together here. Lord, I want to see them grow. I want to see them go on with you. I want to see them endure. I don't want to see any fall away. Lord, we're in a battle. We need you. We cry out to you. Lord, we're our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. But Lord, we know we're vulnerable, and therefore, Lord, we need patience. We need the fruit of your Spirit, Lord. We need self-control. Lord, I pray, do that in me, do that in us. Lord, I pray that we will be growing, that we'll be spurring and stirring one another on. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who forgives us, who says, come to me. We thank you that we can come to you. That's what we do right now. Oh, Lord, do something in our lives. May these things rest not in just in our minds, but in our hearts this week, Lord. Speak to us as we go through this whole series, Lord, that we will be fruitful, that we won't miss out on our mission. In Jesus' name, amen.